All right. Praise the Lord. Yesterday, we had a leadership meeting, and Michelle, one of our own, we love her so much. So, Merle, will you come over here? We are going to bless you. But let me tell you, this lady did an excellent job, and she is so gifted. So we want to promote her a lot of time. You know, how many of you know that in family you're real close, but you really don't know all the ins and outs, you know? So we want to present to you this morning. She has a ministry. I'm going to call it ministry, but it's going to be announced to the different churches and different community. And so we're going to start in here, right? Because you need to know. And I'm just going to speak a little bit about it. We're going to bless her. But there are copies in the foyer that I would like for you to pick one up so you can know all the details. Amen. But she has a ministry, and she calls it Forward by Design. Isn't that good? I love it. And coaching, helping you to take courageous, faith-focused step forward. Michelle Simmons is a certified mental health coach with the American Association of Christian Counselor and a leadership coach with Maxwell Leadership. She offers sessions designed to help women grow in emotional health, faith, and purpose. And her heart is to help women move from feeling overwhelmed, can relate, to walking forward in the freedom and direction that God provides. Isn't that awesome? And then what to expect when she's ministering and meeting with each one of us. She's to coach you in sessions to help you gain understanding about what's holding you back or causing you uncertainty. Isn't that great? I think we all can be there. She strengthen your emotional and spiritual resilience. Set faith-based goals aligned with God's purpose and take practical steps towards healing, growth, and confidence. Whether you're navigating a transition, feeling weary, or simply longing for renewed direction, you don't have to do it alone. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. And then there's more. And then one of those little bars there that will send you right where she is in her website. Glory to God. And so again, we just want to bless her and send her forward with a blessing, but to expose her. Amen. So you might know someone that needs, you know, the counseling and needs someone to help them navigate, right? One of the things that we find ourselves when I'm talking to people is this thing of anxiety. Anybody suffering anxiety and confusion? It is in the atmosphere, is spiritual, okay? Now a lot, you know, that's why she is such a blessing to the community, because it's going to be, you know, announced to the an offer to the community. But she's a blessing to the body of Christ as well. So if you're going through all this, you don't have to go through it alone. And I guarantee you that if you see her, she's going to help you, because the Spirit of the Lord works through her. She's an amazing, and I love her so much. And we work together, and I just see it. You know, when that anointing, I was just talking this morning about when the anointing comes in, right? The Bible says it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Amen? It's not words, it's not position, it's not all those letters after your name, although that help. It help. They do help. But it's that anointing, right? A word in due time that breaks, that you go, oh, should have a VA. No, you just there and you hear it and you know it. You just get it. Because it's the Spirit of the Lord ministering. Amen. So again, we just thank you so much for being obedient to God. And we know that God is going to do great things. You are a blessing not only to this body, but even to the city of La Belle, and no telling where the Lord will take you. Wouldn't that be great? You know, okay, just sign it. So get your signature. Not, no. Now the book. Right. All right. Go ahead.
We're so proud of you. So, Father, we thank you for Michelle. We thank you for her heart to be a vessel that you can use to edify your body. And, Father, we pray that you would continue to anoint, to guide, to lead her, to show the path that you would have her to take so that she can be effective minister in this community for those women and those individuals that need the counsel and the ministry that you have through her. And Father, we pray that you handpick those that are going to be receptive to what you have deposited in her so that they can benefit. Father, even open the facilities that are needed, the different things that are needed, the tools to make things better, more comfortable, and more available, Father. And Father, we thank you for your word in her and through her, Father, to bring about healing, deliverance, knowledge, understanding, and Father, a mindset to be able to take charge and continue doing the things that you've called people to do as she counsels. So Father, we pray for her health, for all the things that are needed. We ask for the finances needed for her to establish even her individual ministry, yes, so that she can minister not just to this house, not just to these churches, but to the whole community. Yes. And Father, may you use her even to bring people to your saving knowledge, and to walk standing up, Father, as you have called each one of us to do, walking in your kingdom. And Father, we bless her, and we thank you for her in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We have a board of directors meeting tonight. For those of you that, like me, that may have forgotten. So good. All right. Well, I pray you have another 2 hours so that you can enjoy food here and food there as well. Don't panic. Don't panic. Some time ago, we started talking about spiritual warfare. We have been in that subject for about a month and a half or so. And for the last few weeks, we have been on the subject of praying in tongues, also referred to as praying in the Spirit. Now, I want to preface with this. You know, I know that there are many people that are, at least they're scared of spiritual stuff. I understand. I've been there at one point. But listen, if you choose to live in the natural through this life, I say what Paul said, you're of all men most miserable. Because we need, you know, we were created spiritual beings. So the greater dimension of our being is a spiritual dimension. And even though before we were born again, we lived in the system of the world, we got out of that. If you receive Jesus as your Savior, you no longer belong to the system of this world. You belong to the kingdom of God. That is a spiritual kingdom. And it doesn't make sense for you to belong to a spiritual kingdom and still live in the natural. Now, the natural and the spiritual sometimes look very, most times, if not all, always, look very different. You know, I'm sure foreigners from Europe would come here and they have to go through the manual to be able to get a license to drive here because the driving laws are different. And so you have to study the book. You have to take a test so that you can drive here, or else you end up driving on the left lane. The same thing happens when we come to the kingdom of God. We are born into the kingdom of this world, and we're used to doing things in the natural. And all of a sudden, King Jesus introduces us to his kingdom, which is a spiritual one. But he wants to establish it here, and he will, and he will succeed. And I think it's happening pretty soon. So get ready. So, you know, the subject of the Spirit of God is one that people feel kind of uneasy. You know why? The main reason is because we can't control it, can we? We can't tell God what to do, and we're so used to trying to be in control. Isn't that the root problem? We want to be in control. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God comes in, and he wants to do what he wants to do, and we're not comfortable. Well, I don't understand it. Well, you don't understand GPS, and you still benefit from it. So, we have been talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. We have talked about this issue of tongues that many have still heartburn over it. But this is part of the tools of warfare that the Lord has given us as Christians. Paul said that our weapons of warfare are not carnal. That means they are spiritual. And these things about praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, is a spiritual happening. And God has given us certain things that we need to do so that he can do through us what he wants to do. So far, we have spoken about, whoops, I have to turn this on before I get this going. There you go. We have spoken about some of the benefits of praying in tongues. We said that when we pray in tongues, when we pray in the Spirit, we're not speaking to men. People may say, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, it doesn't have to make sense to any of us because we're not speaking to each other. We're speaking to God. And he doesn't have a problem understanding because he's the one that gave you the language to start with. Secondly, when we pray in tongues, we are being built up from within. Our spirit is being charged. You know, like the generator or alternator in your car. You know, it uses electricity to run all the things of the car, but that generator is always working to charge that battery so you have enough power. When you pray in the Spirit, that's just like revving up that generator or alternator so that battery stays fully charged and you have enough power to do what you're called to do. Thirdly, praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, doesn't make sense to the mind. But guess what? The mind shouldn't be involved. It bypasses the mind. It bypasses the human understanding, and therefore, we don't mess up the prayer. Isn't that something? You know, we can give thanks to God, or we can ask God for things, and we know that if we are asking them in the prayer in tongues and praying in the Spirit, we're asking for the perfect will of God, and we saw that in Scripture. In fact, Paul said, I want you to pray with your understanding in your normal language, but I also want you to pray in the Spirit, in tongues. Do both. Finally, we were exhorted by the Apostle Paul not to forbid speaking in tongues, meaning it is a gift for all of us believers today. Some people say it's past, it's gone, the period is gone. Give me chapter and verse. It is still applicable. It is still for us today. Now, last time we saw in Scripture that being baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit is a different experience from being born again. We saw in John chapter 20, verse 22, when Jesus appeared to his disciples on the day of his resurrection, and he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Well, if Jesus said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," he didn't ask, he commanded. So what happened? I believe the disciples got born again in the New Testament covenant and all its aspects to the disciples at that point. And yet, a few days before, he told them in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, "But you disciples, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." That's a different experience from salvation. And we saw three or four different scriptures that talk about the difference between becoming a temple of the Holy Spirit and becoming baptized by the Holy Spirit. And we saw all of those. If you want to hear that again, there's a website called lmclabelle.org. You can go, and there's the past messages. You can listen to them. And if you want more, I can give you plenty of outlines for you to study slowly. We saw in Acts chapter 8, Samaritans being born again, and then afterwards being filled with the Holy Spirit. We saw in Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul being saved, and 3 days later being filled with the Holy Spirit. We saw in Acts chapter 10, the first Gentile family getting saved and filled with the Holy Spirit all at once. That was Cornelius and his household. We saw in Acts chapter 19 where some believers in Ephesus were filled with the Holy Spirit after they were saved. So there is a difference between you becoming the temple of the Holy Spirit at your salvation and you being baptized with the Holy Spirit after salvation to give you the power to do the work of the Lord. We also saw that when people are baptized with the Holy Spirit, one of the evidences is that they begin to speak in tongues as the Spirit gives them. We saw that in Acts chapter 2 and a few other verses. Finally, last time we started showing you how to get filled with the Holy Spirit according to Scripture. We saw how believers were laid hands on them and how they received the Holy Spirit. We also saw where Peter was preaching to Cornelius' house, and he didn't have to touch him. He just spoke the word of salvation, and they were saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave him utterance, because the preaching of the word brought faith, they believed, and they acted on what was being preached. They received Jesus into their heart, and they were baptized with the Holy Spirit all at once. Now, I know that some of you has had bad experiences with this issue about the Holy Spirit, with being filled with tongues. So I want to be kind of personal with you a little bit. I was born again in a place, on a church, that taught that you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues before you were actually fully saved. That was a wrong doctrine. I didn't know any better at that time. I was just a baby Christian. I just knew I knew God. I needed God. I found out about Jesus paying for my sin. I received him, and I was all for him. I was sold out. We were. But I was, according to that church, I was only halfway saved. I needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues before I could be called a brother. I went a whole year. feelings of unworthiness, of unbelief, of rejection from the Lord, thinking that Jesus didn't mean what he said, that he didn't like me, he didn't love me, there was something wrong with me. Listen, every church service that we went to, I would end up at the altar asking the Lord to fill me up with the Holy Spirit, let me speak in tongues so that they could call me a brother. A whole year. I was wanting on the Lord to give me the Holy Spirit. And I found out later that he was wanting me to receive what he had already given and had made available to every Christian since Pentecost. Finally, about a year later, I got a Christian book from a Christian brother that I love very much. He passed away. But that book explained the biblical principles found in the Word concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the subject of tongues. As you can tell, I devoured that book. I meditated on it. I looked at every scripture. I tried to fight it to make sure that it was biblical. I knew in my head that God was not holding anything back from me. And then I found out that the problem was me. I wanted God to act according to how I wanted him to act. And I was forgetting that he is the one that directs us. So after I read that book and meditated on it for about a week or so, I was still working, you know, full time. So couldn't devote all the time to it, but I did most of the evenings. But shortly after that, I was asked to lead a Wednesday night Bible study. Incredible. I wasn't a full-blown Christian in that church. And the pastor had to be gone for that week. And so he invited me to lead the study of the word that Wednesday. And so there was a lady that came in. We always used to have, you know, a song or two before we started the Bible study. And so there was this lady with the problem with the throat. He had a throat infection or something. And she, in her prayer time, she came up and said, he called me, George, I need prayer. I need prayer. I need healing from the Lord. And so here I am, a week on studying all of this about the Holy Spirit, about tongues, about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But at that point, I just wanted healing for this older lady. She was probably in the 80s. And she came in, she said, lay hands on me so I can be healed. And so I go, and I, obedient to the word and her request, I lay my hands on her. And boy, she started dancing around. She was healed instantly. And I started speaking a language that I didn't know what I was saying. I got filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues for a few minutes. It shocked me. I wasn't even thinking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, but my spirit was ready to receive. And so God graciously allowed me to speak, gave me the tongues, and I had the faith to act on it. And boy, we had a good service that night. I forgot what I taught. And I was just in high cloud because I could be called now a brother. I could wear a tie and be official. Jeez. So, I want you to understand and believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is meant for every believer. Everyone that has accepted Jesus as their Savior, you are a candidate to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Jesus commanded his disciples to wait until they were filled with the Holy Spirit before becoming witnesses to him all over the world. So if you are a believer, Jesus wants you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit even today. It is for you. If you have received Jesus as your Savior and you understand that the Holy Spirit wants to do a work through you, then you have to allow him to come in and baptize you and fill you up. There's a scripture in Luke chapter 11, starting with verse 9. Jesus is talking to the crowds. And he says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open." And he continues on saying, "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" Verse 13, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now this is Jesus talking. First of all, if you are born again, then God is your Father. Amen. You can call him Heavenly Father, just like Jesus did there. And you can ask him for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, you cannot ask what you don't know. But now you know, or you have the ability to find out. And you can be assured that when you ask according to God's will, believing to receive, you will get what you ask for from your Heavenly Father. He's that kind of a Father. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, John wrote, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." Jesus has already declared that it is his will for every believer to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You know, you have heard that God has already declared that it's not his will that any should perish, right? It is not God's will that any should perish, and yet people are perishing daily. Like Carlos was saying, people dying without the Lord. It's not God's will, but God has given us a free will. We can choose to ask, or we can choose to do without. Just as he has declared that it is not God's will that any should perish, he's declared that it is his will for you to be empowered to be his witness by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus has already given salvation freely to whosoever will receive it. And he has sent the Holy Spirit for whosoever Christian would receive him. Now it is up to us to believe and to receive what he has already promised and what he has already sent for us. Now, I want you to be clear on this because I don't want any confusion. Your petition is to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not to receive tongues. Amen. And that's a difference. Some people pray, "Oh, Father, give me tongues, give me tongues." That's not what you're after. You want the power of the Holy Spirit in you. You're asking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. tongue comes as a consequence of that. When you want to get wet, you don't ask for wet. You ask for water. Okay? Wet is a result of you getting the water and using it properly. And you believe that you are going to get wet when you get the water. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. The question, are you a believer? Yes. Then this sign should be following you. Jesus said, in my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. He didn't say some. He said they. Who? Those who believe. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Remember my testimony? I wasn't considered by the church a full-blown Christian, and yet I laid my hands on this lady, and she got healed instantly from a sore throat. You first believe in Jesus and in all of his promises, and then the signs will follow those who believe and act on those beliefs. Your belief should be, Jesus, I am born again. I belong to you. Now you promise to fill me with the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled. I want to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Then your corresponding action to that belief is, I believe I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit right now. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. Now, I want to open this frontier. I want those of you who want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, come down to the front. We will lay our hands on you. And when we do, your part is to believe that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then whatever sign will follow. You want to be endued with power from on high, as Jesus promised that he would give the Holy Spirit to those. So this altar is open. If anybody wants to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is the time. All right. My wife.
We
want you to be spectators.
Let's worship
you to
the
be
Lord.
Participants. Mm-hmm. Be in tune with the Spirit so as we minister the things of God, you are in tune with what the Spirit wants to do.
Mm-hmm. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand and worship the Lord. Just worship God. Let him be magnified. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Hallelujah. It's a good day. Glory to God. It is good. Whosoever, amen, whosoever, let's pray. And for those of you that are here and you're filled with the Spirit of the Lord, just pray and worship God, amen, hallelujah, glory to God.